You're listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition. Normally, the Friday editions are long editions, and this will be maybe an hour, a little less than an hour, because it's the summer, and I debated even taking Friday off, but I'm going to give it a go and try to get that Friday program in. But it'll be a little shorter than the typical during the school year. Typically, my Friday shows go an hour and a half, 2 hours. They're the long show because the office, the student media is open. Today, that's not the case. This is the summer, and I'm really the only one here next to our sound engineer. And what I wanted to do is go over what really happened yesterday. I was driving in, and I heard a clip from a congressman from Georgia, John Lewis, a black man that was involved in march with Martin Luther King. The Democrats, I call them the tiny tyrant's temper tantrum. They were going after, well, really what they wanted is money. This was, as House Speaker Ryan pointed out, a stunt to get money contributions. What they were going after is to try to chip away at the Second Amendment, as well as the Fifth Amendment. Every time there is a terrorist attack or someone with mental issues or criminals kill people, what do? What's the Democratic reflective response? Guns are the problem. Guns are the problem. Guns aren't the problem. Criminals, terrorists are the problem. Guns don't shoot people. Human beings shoot people. Now, the founders, in their infinite wisdom, made sure that we had a Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, setting forth some, not all, of the rights of the American people. They're all important. But the Second Amendment has to do with the right to keep and bear arms. They gave us that right because they fought a revolutionary war against the superpower of the time, Great Britain, and its king, who was acting like a tyrant, dictating what he wanted. Didn't consult the colonists that didn't really have representatives in the parliament, and even if they did, they would be outvoted. And he sent the redcoats, the army, the British army, professional soldiers, to enforce his dictates, and broke into and searched home after home looking for American revolutionaries, their guns, their ammunition, to confiscate it. So when these same founding fathers tried and succeeded and won, after many years and many, many defeats, the American Revolutionary War, they wanted to make sure that the American citizens would never again face a tyrant trying to take away their rights. So they gave us the Bill of Rights to protect the American people, and that was required for the United States Constitution to be passed. Initially, the United States Constitution did not have a Bill of Rights, but the only way the people of the states, then the colonies, would agree to the United States Constitution, which centralized a lot of power in Washington, D.C. Keep that in mind. There are a lot of people that were against the United States Constitution. And what they feared was a centralized government that, unfortunately, we have today. Power and control today largely is in the hands of the federal government. And the founders wisely put that a Second Amendment to give the American people, not the government, the American people, the right to bear and keep arms. Because they knew invariably that what was going to happen, a politician, doesn't matter which party, would come to power and start acting like a tyrant. In other words, dictating the laws. Only Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate can pass laws, not the president. Unfortunately, we've had presidents of both parties that wanted to expand and have expanded the power of the president. And sad to say, we've had Congresses, both Democrat and Republican, that really did not stand up to the president and say, no, you will not do this. It is unconstitutional. You're not a dictator. You're not a king. You were elected president to faithfully execute the office of the president of the United States. That does not mean you dictate law to the American people. And we've had presidents, including the current one, President Obama, that have tried it. And for the most part, have gotten away with it. But the American people are very protective of that Bill of Rights, especially numbers 1 and 2, but also 5. Number 2 is your right to keep and bear arms. That amendment was put in there not so you can have a rifle or a pistol to go hunting. It was put there to stop tyrants. You see, they understood that no law, no constitution ever written is going to stop criminals or tyrants or terrorists. It simply will not do. It's just a piece of paper with words on it. And you need to understand that. But they wisely knew that if not all Americans, but a lot of Americans, exercise their right to keep and bear arms and not rely or become dependent on the government or the police, they would protect themselves first and foremost against tyrants or would-be tyrants, but also criminals. And yes, today, terrorists. A well-armed American citizens can and will protect themselves against those three groups, whether it's the criminal locally, the terrorist, or the tyrant. And they will not let any party or part of a party infringe upon those rights. Now, what we have today is a small group of Democrats, maybe 60 at most, I don't know, and some Republicans in the Senate and the House that want to infringe upon your Second Amendment rights. Actually, if they had the votes, they would like to repeal the Second Amendment. And my response to that is, go ahead. There's a process. Try to repeal the Second Amendment. I don't think you'll get very far, and that's the important point. If you don't like the Second Amendment, make your case, put forward an amendment to the Constitution to repeal the Second Amendment, and see how many states and people are going to support you. It will be a small minority, and you'll never get it through. And the Democratic Party leadership knows that. They know it deep down, because every time they try to grab people's guns, infringe upon their rights, they lose elections. You would think that ultimately that would sink in. But they actually believe that a law is going to stop criminals, going to stop terrorists. It's not. Guns don't kill people. Human beings with guns kill people. And the criminals are not going to obey the law to get a gun. A terrorist is not going to obey the law to get a gun. And tyrants, one of the first things all tyrants have done, whether it's in Nazi Germany, the Soviet Union, Communist China, and dictator after dictator, whatever their title, king, emperor, have done, is disarm the people. They're afraid of the people. So number one on their agenda is to go after the guns, because they know that those that are successful doing that can then be in power for many, many years. And that's the history of the world. So our founding fathers gave us a very precious right to bear and keep arms. Now, it doesn't mean you have to. If you want to rely on the police or security cameras or whatever, a fence, be my guest. But then you're very much dependent on the government, and they will let you down, as they did on the 11th of September, 2001. The terrorists didn't have guns, by the way. They had box cutters. And they commandeered jets and brought down the two towering buildings in New York, struck the Pentagon, and were about to either attack the Capitol building or maybe the White House before American citizens stopped them and unfortunately died in the process. The majority of the American people do not want the Second Amendment repealed. They don't want it to be infringed upon by either taxation, taxing the weapons or the ammunition, or simply bureaucratic background checks. Today, if you want to purchase a gun in a gun store, you're going to go through a background check. Most of the people that are buying those guns are law-abiding, and guess what? They pass the background check. The problem is sometimes it fails for the simple reason information that should be available is not. One weakness is there are people that have issues, mental issues. They're disturbed. Many of them are on prescribed drugs, which can cause them to have homicidal thoughts as well as suicidal thoughts. And when that happens, they might get a gun legally at the gun store, but most of the time they either steal the weapons, borrow the weapons, or have someone else buy the weapons for them. You see, laws and background checks don't protect you. What protects you is yourself. You have to be aware of the situations you're in, the neighborhood you're in, the time of day. There are people, criminals, terrorists, mental people with psychological problems, mental issues, drug issues, that can on occasion and will strike out and kill people. Many times they want to be killed. They want the police to kill them, and that unfortunately happens. And that's what's happened in Orlando, and it will happen again. The only way to protect yourself is to be armed. Usually to protect yourself, your family, your loved ones, your possessions, property, against criminals. The people that really face the most danger are people that are poor, whether they be black, Hispanic, or white, because crime, and especially drug usage and gangs, can in many cities be rampant. And many of these cities have the strictest gun control laws. They don't work. It is a well-armed American citizen, and that has been going up, up, and up, that reduces crime. Crime is down. Homicides are down. Why? The criminals know, as well as the terrorists know, is that many citizens, not all citizens, but many citizens are armed. And if you try to break into their house, you try to attack them, you might end up dead. That's not what's reported in the news. We report largely the victims of criminal or terrorist activity. What we don't really highlight and report are the tens of thousands of people every year that prevent criminals, largely, from hurting that individual or his family or his property. You see, where people are armed, people tend to be a little bit more polite. It's more civil. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go around armed. It's your choice. You're free to choose how you deal with the situation that you're in. Many rely on security guards or police. But there is a problem, and it's a big problem. Today, I'm sitting in a gun-free zone. I'm relying on, in this case, the Richland College police to protect me. There are several hundred cameras, surveillance cameras, all throughout this campus. But I estimate it would take at least 3 minutes and probably 5 minutes, maybe longer, for them to respond. If someone, a criminal, a terrorist, should target this campus because they know it's a gun-free zone, people will die. Because in a space of 3 to 5 minutes, as we saw in Orlando, upwards of 49 people died. They were relying, unfortunately, a mistake on their part, for a rapid response. They were also in a gun-free zone, and that's one of the problems. It's not only every college campus and school in this country is a gun-free zone. Federal buildings are gun-free zones. And many businesses are gun-free zones. And that has led to the deaths of law-abiding citizens, many of them who normally and legally have concealed carry. Every state in the United States has concealed carry. Some have open carry. The American people are learning that the extent that they are armed sends a strong message to criminals and terrorists. You better watch out. You better be smart in selecting the target. So what do criminals, terrorists, and nutcases, the mentally disturbed, do? They deliberately and intentionally target gun-free zones. And that's one of the common denominators of every one of these incidences where, no matter who the person is, the common denominator, not always, but almost always, is it's a gun-free zone. I'm talking mass shootings of 3-4 people or more. This campus is one of the most dangerous places that I can be. See, off the campus, in my car, in my home, and in many buildings, I can exercise my rights under the Second Amendment. But what has happened is politicians, locally, statewide, countywide, have restricted my rights under the Second Amendment. And that gets people killed. Gun laws, background checks, gun-free zones are not going to stop criminals, terrorists. It attracts them. Criminals don't obey the law. We have, in every state, every country that I'm aware of, there are laws against homicide. Does that mean they don't have homicides? No, it doesn't. They talk about common sense gun control. What about common sense, period? Common sense laws. Are you nuts thinking a law is going to stop a determined killer? You're out of your mind. But that's what these people believe. And they're attacking your rights, my rights, under the Second Amendment to bear and keep arms. How dare these people do this? And they're doing it in the name of civil rights. Isn't that amazing? One of the reasons we have gun control laws was that after the Civil War, whites wanted to make sure blacks didn't have guns. So they wrote gun control laws so blacks didn't have guns. And the irony today is twofold. It is dangerous to live in a low-income black neighborhoods, as well as Hispanic. The people that really need the guns to protect themselves against criminals, gangs, drug dealers, are those people, and we make it difficult for them, expensive for them, to exercise their rights. Those are the people that desperately need the gun to protect themselves against criminals because the police take forever to respond, if they ever respond. Yet we have demagogues, or I prefer tiny tyrants, having a temper tantrum by having a sit-in in the House of Representatives because they want to pass a law. Now, there's another amendment called the Fifth Amendment, due process, your right to a trial by your peers. The current situation is this. A government bureaucrat can put you on the no-fly list, because they suspect that you might be a terrorist. There's no due process there. And what happens is innocent, law-abiding people find when they go to the airport, "I'm sorry, sir, but you can't board because you're on the no-fly list." "Excuse me, why am I on the no-?" "We can't tell you. We don't know, or we can't tell you." They forgot about the Fifth Amendment. Oh, we need some reforms in regards to the no-fly list, because that gives any government bureaucrat the right to take your Fifth Amendment right. What we have going on here is an attempt by Democrats and their fellow travelers, the big lie media, to make a terrorist attack. And that is obviously what it was. Doesn't matter whether they were born here or Timbuktu. Doesn't matter. That gentleman was a radical Islamic terrorist. He came to kill people. He came to kill lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgenders. He targeted a no-gun zone, and he went to kill homosexuals because his religion says you execute homosexuals. That's the peaceful religion of Islam. Well, it's not very peaceful. It's right out of the Middle Ages, and those people, 49 of them, lost their lives, and 57 of them, many of them, were seriously wounded. And this Islamic terrorist deliberately shot people in the head to make sure they were dead. Donald Trump is right. If it weren't a no-gun zone and people could have been carrying their weapons, maybe, just maybe, some, maybe not all, but some of those people would be alive today. Some of those people would not have been wounded. But because of the gun grabbers and the people that want to restrict your rights under the Second Amendment, that didn't happen. And what did the Democratic Party do in the House? They were trying to raise money off of this so-called crisis. That's sickening. But that's what they're about. Let me play a clip of House Speaker Paul Ryan. Now, I've been critical of Paul Ryan in the past. But when he's right, he's right. And he's right on this. This, for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the show is go to promptpops.wordpress.com. And under my photograph, you'll have links to the most 60 to 80 shows. But under that, you'll have my show notes, which includes videos, cartoons, photographs, depending on what the news story is. And I give you this information to make up your own mind. I'm giving you my comments or takes on news stories. But you need to do your homework and check it out. Now, I want to play the early part of a press conference that Paul Ryan gave Thursday.
House Democrats on the House floor, your contribution will go to the DCCC, $15. This one says try giving us $25, but if you want, you can send us $50, $100, $250, $500, $1,000. Because look at what we're doing on the House floor. Send us money. If this is not a political stunt, then why are they trying to raise money off of this? Off of a tragedy. What they're called for failed in a committee in the House. The reason I call this as a stunt is because they know this isn't going anywhere. It already failed in the Senate. They may not like this fact, but this bill couldn't even get 50 votes in the United States Senate, let alone 60. Why is that? Why is it that this bill failed on a bipartisan basis in committee? And this bill failed on a bipartisan basis in the Senate. Because in this country, we do not take away people's constitutional rights without due process. This is not just Republicans saying this. It's groups like the ACLU who are saying this. But more to the point, our focus needs to be on confronting radical extremism. Terrorism is the issue. Let me say it again. Terrorism is the issue. And defeating terrorism is our focus here in the House. So let me be really clear. We are not going to take away the constitutional rights of law-abiding Americans. And we're not going to allow publicity stunts to stop us from doing our job. That's why the House powered ahead last night to provide important resources in the fight against the Zika virus. One of our must-do items on our list this week was that we had to respond to the Zika virus. We know this is something that we have to get on top of. And in the face of this distraction, we passed a responsible bill that provides the level of funding that was in the Senate bill that received a big bipartisan vote with a mix of offsets that we in the House thought were very important. This is a good compromise. It meets an urgent need, and I urge the Senate to take it up and pass it. Now, Democrats can talk all they want. I'm really not sure what their plan or end game is here, but the bottom line is despite these distractions, we did our job. We did the people's business, and we will continue to do so. One more point I want to bring up. I want to say a word about the Supreme Court ruling that we just got that halts the president's executive amnesty. This is a win for the Constitution. It's a win for Congress, and it's a win in our fight to restore the separation of powers. Presidents don't write laws, Congress writes laws. This is a case that the House weighed in on because it's fundamental to our system of checks and balances. Congress, not the president, writes our laws. And today, the Supreme Court validated that very core, essential, fundamental principle.
That was House Speaker Paul Ryan at a press conference. And I'm going to get into the Supreme Court decision, but I'm running out of time. But I wanted to play Representative John Lewis, who was part of this sit-in, this stunt to raise money, really on the graves of the people that died. Yeah, they'll use a crisis. And he's a well-known Georgia representative, marched with Martin Luther King, civil rights leader. He's getting up there in age. But listen to what he had to say.
For months, Even for years, through several sessions of Congress, I wondered what would bring this body to take action? What would finally make Congress do what is right, what is just, what the people of this country have been demanding, and what is long overdue? We have lost hundreds and thousands of innocent people to gun violence. And what has this body done? Mr. Speaker, nothing. Not one thing. We have turned a deaf ears. We have turned deaf ears to the blood of the innocent and the concern of our nation. We are blind to a crisis. Mr. Speaker, where is the heart of this body? Where is our soul? Those who pursue common sense improvement are beaten down. Reason is criticized. Obstruction is praised. Newtown, Aurora, Charleston, Orlando. What is the tipping point? Are we blind? We are calling on the leadership of the House to bring common sense gun control legislation to the House floor. Give us a vote. Let us vote. We came here to do our job. We came here to work.
That was Congressman John Lewis of Georgia. A couple of points. Mr. Lewis, you're not going to take the people's rights by demagoguing this issue. Guns are not the issue. Mental illness is the issue. Crime is the issue. The irony is most blacks are killed by other blacks in the neighborhood of 95% in poor communities. And this gentleman wants to disarm the blacks. That's not common sense. That's stupidity, sir. You're blind to the problem. It's not guns. Guns do not have a will. They do not walk in and shoot me. Human beings do that. And you have people that are criminals, mentally ill, and terrorists. That's the problem. How do you control those people? And it's not by another law. We have more laws than in this nation that we ever need. They will never stop a terrorist or a criminal. You're being a demagogue, sir. And you're being rather small, a tiny tyrant with a temper tantrum. They can't get their way. There was votes, and it was turned down in committee, bipartisan votes. This is a rather cheap, pathetic way to raise money. That's why you need to vote out any Democrat that is challenging your rights, both to due process under the law as well as your right to keep and bear arms. These are the tiny tyrants that you elected. If I were in Mr. Lewis's district, I would challenge him. What do tyrants do? The first thing they do is take guns, weapons from the people so then they can dictate to them. And that's what they're doing and sitting in the well of the House of Representatives. Give me a break, sir. Common sense? No. Madness is what it is. You're trying to disarm your own people that need guns to protect themselves against the gangs, the drug dealers, and the petty criminals that prey upon the black, Hispanic, and yes, the white communities. Now, as House Speaker Paul Ryan said, we had a Supreme Court decision. And I'll probably have to wait to Monday to do this. This was a win for those that want to stop the illegal invasion of this country. The president, like his fellow travelers in the Congress and the big lie media, we have a president that thinks he's above the law and writes law. Well, he doesn't, as Mr. Ryan pointed out. And that is the effect of the Supreme Court decision. But just listen to our president. Here's what he had to say on this. I can't play the whole thing, but I will play 2 minutes. This is his reaction. Here's the tyrant President Obama that wants to dictate immigration law. Why They want to be a single party. They want to give citizenship to all the illegals that they're inviting to come here, breaking the law. He doesn't enforce the current immigration law. That's why the American people want to throw him out and not make sure that Hillary Clinton does not get elected.
Good morning, everybody. I wanted to say a few words on two of the cases the Supreme Court spoke on today. First, in the affirmative action case, I'm pleased that the Supreme Court upheld the basic notion that diversity is an important value in our society and that this country should provide a high-quality education to all our young people, regardless of their background. We are not a country that guarantees equal outcomes, but we do strive to provide an equal shot to everybody, and that's what was upheld today. Second, one of the reasons why America is such a diverse and inclusive nation is because we're a nation of immigrants. Our founders conceived of this country as a refuge for the world, and for more than two centuries, welcoming wave after wave of immigrants has kept us youthful and dynamic and entrepreneurial. It has shaped our character and it has made us stronger. But for more than two decades now, our immigration system, everybody acknowledges, has been broken. And the fact that the Supreme Court wasn't able to issue a decision today doesn't just set the system back even further. It takes us further from the country that we aspire to be.
I'm running out of time, and we'll have to give my analysis of this Monday, but a couple of brief points. The American people want legal immigration. And that's why every year over a million people come here illegally. And that's the way the prior immigrants came. What has changed is we have a president, whether Democrat or Republican, for their own political reasons, namely this president and this party, wants to grant amnesty to 30 to 50 million illegal aliens that are here. And over the last several years has welcomed, encouraged people to illegally come into this country. The problem, Mr. President, is illegal immigration and the unwillingness of both under Democratic presidents and Republican presidents to do what the American people want, and they want immigration laws enforced. That is a fact. And you, sir, do not make the laws, and that's what you're doing. You're violating your oath of office to faithfully execute the laws of this country, and you're trying to change the law, and that is what the Supreme Court stopped. And this was a case where 27 states sued the federal government for this president's actions. Thank you for listening, and I'll have more to say on Monday. Have a good weekend, and now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.